you have to accept things. You have to accept you're not your woman's biggest, her first, her best, or her only. You're going to have to understand that, yes, your woman likes to please you and she likes having sex with you. She's probably not going to pair bond with you. Why? Because she has slept with men other than you.
If you two were to give advice on how you have such a solid, loving relation and successful relationship like yours, what would it be? Just a quick sum up. We've pretty much gone over everything, but just a very quick sum up.
Today only, get all 5 volumes of Womanese Audio, all 5 Womanese eBooks, How to Master the Game Audio, How to Build a Quality Woman from the Ground Up, The Gold Digger Guide, and The Shit Test Guide absolutely free with the purchase of a CME virtual ticket. That's over $1,000 in courses free. Link in description and up.
Welcome to today's show. I'm Tallulah from The Feminine Truth. And today I am joined by Donovan and the lovely Devon. How are you both?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, thank you. Good. We are premiering this at the moment and we are in the chat with you, so do leave us a comment.
Absolutely. Donovan
and Devon, the CME is coming up. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the CME stands for the Conference of Masculine Excellence, and it's really quite simple. What I wanted to do, what I aimed to do, was to bring together some of the most prominent manosphere figures, red pill guys who have a red pill manosphere men-centric message, bring them all together in one location and have a conference. Now, the purpose of the conference is obviously to bring men together. But what it's really turned into is it's turned into sort of also a networking event. A lot of the guys that were at the CME, whether they were on staff or a speaker, whatever the case may be, a lot of us kept up with each other, and we maintained those friendships and those relationships, and that has helped to carry us into this second CME here in Miami, which is coming up on May 19th. And so look, mission accomplished. Men are coming together, men are networking, men are becoming of use to one another. We're advising each other. We're forming these lifelong bonds. This is why I love this community. The second reason I started the CME, which really became my primary reason, is to really sort of address all of the infighting, just to kind of show the world that we're not just a bunch of, you know, incel, you know, loser video game types who do nothing but, you know, bitch and moan about, you know, different philosophies. Yes, we will have fundamental disagreements here and there, but in the end, we're all on the same team. And I want to show the public that we're all on the same team, because a lot of what you see now in the manosphere, at least what is broadcasted and put out into the public, is all of the infighting, all of the worst parts. So my aim is to make known the best parts of the manosphere and the red pill community. And I think I've done that with the CME. Mm-hmm.
It's super exciting news. And I'm so sorry that I can't be there. I would have loved to have especially come and hung out with the girls that are going.
We're going to kidnap. Listen, for next year's CME, we're going to kidnap you. We're going to black bag you. We're going to rent a nondescript black van. We're going to have it parked outside of your house, you know, a stands electric. And when you come outside, we're going to black bag you and bring you to the States.
Yes.
Oh, wow, I will definitely hope to be there. It's so exciting, and I know it will go well. I don't need to wish you luck. But anyway, guys, I wanted to bring Donovan and Devon on today because I see they have, unfortunately, at the moment in the Western world, is a very rare relationship. To myself, to Donovan, Devon, probably most of the people in this sphere, and some of you listeners, this is normal. This is how relationships should be. This is how they blossom. This is like a true ownership and true love in my eyes. And I know that sounds really soppy in front of Donovan say true love, but I know from speaking to Devon, and I know that the way Devon looks at you and everything, there's love there. That's true love. So I had some questions today that ask you guys, and just so the viewers can get an idea of your relationship and perhaps apply it to their own. So the first question is, Devon, it's for you. Please tell our female followers what life was like before you met Donovan and what life is like now.
Oh boy. All right.
Wow. How honest should I be here?
Hey, yay. Be honest enough to maintain the integrity of our relationship. What you don't see, people say what you don't know can't hurt you. 100%, man.
All right. Well,
Before I met Donovan, I was coming out of a very long-term marriage, an 18-year relationship, and I thought I did it all right. Like, I thought, you know, we were together for 4 years before we got married. First mistake. Thought that was the right thing to do. You know, so, oh, yes, it's definitely going to work now. And we ended up not being that great for each other. Cause when two people are like very similar, like in strengths and personality, they tend to exacerbate one another's weaknesses as well as strengths. But in this case, over time, you know, there were things that we couldn't overcome, some substance abuse, some things like that. And it was just eventually like, it was better, apart than together, which, you know, it's unfortunate. That's not what you sign up for. but one thing I've learned is that you can't fix people. You need to take them at face value. You can't change them. People will change. Some people will, but for the most part, they're going to stay exactly how they are, and how they treat other people is eventually how they're going to treat you in the long run. So before I met Donovan, I was kind of spiraling out of, like, you know, I had just moved into my own apartment.
Uh-oh.
You know, I...
Listen, Tallulah, she's not going to say it because women are not... You guys are designed to... And this is perfectly fine, but she was drinking too much and she was being a hoe. That's really what it comes down to.
I have no idea. Is that accurate?
No idea what she's talking about. Right. So listen, women aren't going to say, well, I was drinking too much and I was being a hoe, but that's really what was happening. Not to besmirch you or anything like that. We're, you know, we've gone over all that, but that's really what it is.
Solid decisions.
No, you were not.
One thing that really bothered me more than anything was, you know, I thought you do it right. You meet someone in your young 20s, you get, you know, you live together, you get married, you buy a house, you do all the things in order, and it's all supposed to work out. What my first mistake was is that I thought I needed to find a man who, quote unquote, matched me in all respects. Like, he had to do as well in life as I am.
All right.
I missed the marry up message. I don't know how I missed that one, but I just thought, man, if I can find someone who does as well as me, then I'm good, you know? And eventually what happens is that leads to a competition in a relationship. There were years where I made more than him. There were years where he made more than me, but for the most part, we were pretty equal. And that's why when we separated, there was no alimony or, you know, really issues with dividing everything up. But yeah, I was lost, and I was questioning, like, okay, now I'm single again for the first time in 20 years. You know, I don't know how all this works. Like, I thought that, you know, I thought that it would be incredibly hard for me to go out there and, like, meet people.
And you found out that was not the case.
About as easy as breathing.
Yep.
And so that was like a shock, because at first, you know, first you're just like, oh, wow, you know, people still like me. And then they're like, oh, OK, well, people, just because they want to sleep with you doesn't mean they like you, which right. is hard for a lot of women to swallow. And then I had actually came across one of Donovan's articles, and I had emailed him some questions, and that's how we started talking. And thankfully, my life has done a 180 degree turn. I haven't had a drink in over a year and a half. I work out, which I never did before. Like, I was a young athlete. I was a gymnast and a volleyball player and stuff. So I always thought, like, oh, I built a solid frame. Like, this will last me forever, you know? And yeah, we were like 36 when you met me? No, 30.
No, you were 39. I was 38. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, he made me realize, like, this isn't going to stay the way it is. Right. I hit 40 and I'm like, oh yeah. So he encouraged me to get a trainer. So I've had,
no, hold on. I didn't encourage you to get a trainer.
He required me to get a trainer.
I didn't require you to get a trainer. I got you a trainer, because what happened is when we first moved in together, I tried to get her to come to the gym with me, home exercises. She just wasn't doing it. Yes, Devin hates to train.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, Devin. I hate it. Has to be done.
it has to be done. It's one of those necessary evils. So what I decided, I said, okay, one thing that I know Devin is not going to do is waste my money. Devin understands the value of a dollar. So what I did is I said, okay, if I hire her a personal trainer who I prepaid to come out and train her, she's going to have to do it, because I'm not going to pay a trainer, $2,400 per month to come out and not train her. I'm not just going to throw money away. Dev's going to make sure that I don't throw the money away. So guess what? If I have already paid, then Devin is now required to work out. Otherwise, she wastes my money. And if you waste my money, now we have a serious problem. And that's one of the best decisions I ever made.
Some might call it coercion. We call it investment. And to this day, I have a different trainer now. She comes to the house 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Donovan built this amazing gym. We have Smith machines. We have barbell racks. We have dumbbells. We have cable machines. We have bikes.
Booty Sprout. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a couple of spin bikes. The booty sprout. If Fola made the booty sprout.
Yeah, so
booty bands, all that.
And it's funny because the trainer that I have now, she's like almost 40, would you think?
Yeah, she's almost 40. Yeah.
I've been with her for 2 years. Well, she's been coming here, and she's a Black woman, mother of three daughters, and we become really good friends. And it's funny because I'll talk to her about the stuff that like Alex or Donovan talks about on his show. Sorry.
That's okay. People know my name.
and she's like, she's very religious, but she doesn't like, preach while he's like Bibles and barbells, like she doesn't push it on anybody, but she totally believes in the traditional male, female gender roles and the importance of that in raising a family and stuff. So we actually get along great. And it's really nice to like have her input on different things that, I'm exposed to, be it whether from the news and current events or from the stuff that we talk about on the show.
Yeah, the animals love her too.
Yeah. She's terrified of cats, but
Callie happens to love D, so I guess that's not too big of an issue. Right?
Yeah, she's been a blessing in my life for sure.
Yeah, well, what an amazing story. And what I'm hearing is you were in this relationship, it all seemed normal to you. Unfortunately, the relationship broke down in a later point of your life. And there was a lot of confusion. I did everything right. Everything was meant to be, good. What is going on? And that confusion led you into drinking and from what I'm hearing, being very unhappy. But then you met Donovan and he almost like, a lot of people, yes, you could do coercion or whatever you want to say, but he's almost like he's picked you up and taken ownership for you. Mm-hmm. It's actually really caring what I'm hearing.
It is. Honestly, like I'm in the best shape I've been since I was 15 years old, probably. Before I met Donovan, I had high blood pressure problems.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Really bad asthmatic issues, some autoimmune issues. To this day, I haven't had any problems with blood pressure in about 4 years. And I haven't been to the hospital for my asthma or anything like that.
Yeah, for a while,
4 or 5 years. So really, I think the main thing is like when you quit drinking alcohol, people don't think alcohol is a big deal, but no matter how much you drink, it still causes inflammation in your body.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, like your body starts fighting itself and you can't figure out what's going on. And I was getting like random joint pain and like, I'm too young for this. And like, 6 months after I quit drinking, all of that was gone. Every last trace of any health problem that I had. I mean, except for like, I don't have a thyroid, but I can't fix that. You can't put it back in. But, I feel very lucky because between not having a thyroid and the unhealthy lifestyle I was living, I would probably be 30 pounds heavier right now if I had not met Donovan, maybe heavier. My sister is extremely overweight.
She's a big bitch.
And I can see just from the maternal side of my family, what my body type could have ended up as. And she's only 4 years older than I am.
Yeah.
But even looking at my aunts and stuff like that, I'm like, oh boy, got to keep that Hungarian in you under control a little bit.
Well, Devin was blessed with superior female genetics. Devin's body type It is the quintessential example of an hourglass figure. It's incredible. She has a nice big bust. She has a nice thin waist, and her hips are not, she didn't have thunder thighs, but she has a nice hourglass shape. Devin is shaped like a woman. But had she continued going down the path that she was going with the drinking and the sleeping around and not really watching what she ate, not watching what she puts into her body, it would be
sleep in the bed. I was sleeping on the couch all the time. Yeah. I didn't want to sleep alone.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something. Well, you know, that's how these things are.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. It's great to see you there and happy, Devin, for sure. Donovan, next question is for you. Right. When you got to know Devin, what stood out to you about Devin and what made you attracted to her?
Well, the first thing that attracted me to her was her body type. She was, you know, I mean, obviously she's very attractive. And Devin is much older than the women I used to be in relationships with. When Devin and I first started dating, when we were living in Reno, I was also dating around and everything. But there was one girl in particular who really, really, really wanted to be with me. She was at the time, I think she was 23 years old. She was a hard 10 smoke show Latina girl. Any, you know, all of the physical attributes you could think of, dude, long, thick black hair. The problem was that she was a goddamn headache. She was. And, you know, a lot of guys think that they want to smash, you know, 20 and 21 year old 10s for the rest of their life. Very few men can actually do and sustain that. And not go absolutely crazy. But after you've been around the block, so to speak, at some point, the novelty wears off. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing hooking up with an attractive woman for the very first time. It's always going to be exciting. But at some point, the juice really isn't worth the squeeze. I know that's sort of a slogan that a lot of MGTOW types like to declare, but this is really how it works. I found that I was no longer willing to put in the work necessary to bed, you know, extremely attractive women on a consistent basis. And so what I tried to do is I tried to be in a relationship with this young, attractive woman. And what ended up happening, we dated on and off for almost 3 years. We were never really officially boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm sure she would probably say that we were, you know, I mean, you know, all the stories there, but and Chrissy wasn't a terrible person. It's just that I just didn't like her that much. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people don't understand that you could be having sex with someone that you don't really like that much. And that really was the case with Chrissy. Whereas with Devin, when we first started dating, obviously the first thing that attracted me to her was the way she looked, but I loved her compliance. That was probably the second thing that really sort of kept me around, because she was very obedient. And, you know, to her credit, she told me, she said, "Hey, look, what I'm doing is not working. I'm not happy. I need to know how to turn my life around and become a better woman and healthier and all this other kind of stuff." And I told her, I said, "Look, if I'm going to help you out of this thing that you're in, you got to go all the way. If I ask you, if I tell you to do something, I don't need you to question me. Just understand that when I'm giving you instructions, it's not just to say, you know, I tell my woman what to do and she does what I do. No, everything that I tell her to do is for a purpose. There are never any wasted instructions. There are a lot of men in relationships who like to flex their authority. Hey, watch this. Hey, go do X, Y, and Z. Look, man, I'm 44 years old. I'll be 45 in August. I just don't have time for that." And so what that ended up doing is that helped me to sort of get a taste for women like Dev who are willing to be submissive. Now, another thing that attracted me to Devin, and a lot of people might not realize this, one thing that attracted me to her in terms of her overall package was the fact that she had just come out of a relationship. A very, very long relationship. Most people, if you ask most people, "What's your longest relationship?" Most people say 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. This doesn't mean they're bad in relationships, but everybody, the only successful relationship that anyone is ever in is the one that they're in. all of the other relationships failed for some reason or another, good, bad, indifferent, whatever the case may be. But Devin was married for nearly 20 years. And even though they had issues and they had both done things that were not good for a long-term relationship as far as the marriage is concerned, they both tried to stick it out. And even though things ended poorly, as far as I know, her sticking in that relationship for that long, despite the circumstances, that told me, okay, this is not the kind of woman who's going to cut bait and run at the first sign of trouble. Now, one reason for that might have been her age. At 39 years old, you don't have as many options and not nearly as much time as you did when you were 29. So she had motivation time-wise to comply and do the things that I asked her to do. But like I said, having come out of a 20-year relationship, that clearly showed me, okay, whether or not that relationship was good all the way through, bad all the way through, she knows how to be in a relationship. She knows how to problem solve. She understands conflict resolution. She understands how to get through things. She's not going to pull the ripcord the first time, you know, I hurt her feelings or anything like that. And so those are the main things that really attracted me to Devin, was the way she looked, the fact that she was compliant. Number three, she actually wanted help, and she told me that she wanted help. And number four, she had good relationship skills as far as I knew at that time.
And I have a good relationship with my father.
Yes.
One of the first questions that you
asked
me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's your relationship with your dad?
Family, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Devin's family is awesome. And her biological father died when she was 8 months old. Her mother ended up marrying your now stepdad, and they've been together, what, 35, 40 years, something like that? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
How old am I?
45. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, the point is that she has an unbelievable family. She has two younger brothers. They're both very, very talented. One is he's a boat captain up in Alaska. He does charter stuff in Florida.
He's in Miami now, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he opened up his own company in Florida.
You mean the Alpha Chad brother?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Okay, very good.
They're both living in Miami now.
What? Mm-hmm. Okay, and so her other brother is, well, he's a genius.
He's an entomologist, biologist.
A what?
An entomologist. A bug and plant. He's got a PhD in botany and entomology. So he works for the government to study how bugs affect plants.
Smart guy.
Especially coming into South Florida, native species, species, all that good stuff. Yes, he's very smart.
So
he lets everybody know.
And she has a good relationship with everyone in her immediate family. Yes, there are family issues. Listen, I got issues in my family. She's got issues in her family. But what really allowed me to view her as a possible significant other is the fact that she did come from a cohesive family unit. Right. Again, listen, your childhood wasn't without strife or whatever the case may be. Yeah, right. Nobody lives the perfect life, but every time we go down there to visit them, I mean, it's a great time. Mm-hmm. And her relationship skills are on full display, at least subconsciously, when I go down there. When I watch her mom interact with her stepdad, I now understand, okay, this is why she's good at this. This is why you can cook. This is why you can take a tongue lashing, you know, things of that nature. So yeah, her family being as cohesive and being so together and strong, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, listen, absent all of the physical attributes and all of the things that I've told her to do, I think that's probably one of the single most underrated attributes about her, is that she did come from a strong family unit.
I think that a lot of those qualities that you admire in me mm-hmm. had diminished over my 20-year relationship, because I wasn't forced, but basically by default, I was given a lot of the responsibilities that usually fall on the men. I mean, we're talking
mowing the lawn,
you name it. It was the taxes, paying all the bills, making sure everything is taken care of, just, you know, sending all the things that a woman should do plus all the things that a man should do. And then I was starting to get resentful because of it, and I didn't even at the time, I didn't think it was had anything to do with gender roles. It's just this, it's got to get done. Whoever has a free hand gets it done. But what happened was I started to lose respect for men, thinking that since I have to do it, then he can't, which isn't always true at all.
Right.
A lot of times women will step in to try to help, Meanwhile, their help is actually demeaning, demoralizing, and emasculating their men. A lot of times all you do is just say, hey, this needs to get done. Give him the time and space to do it. You know, assume that he can handle it until he asks for help. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in theory, that works great. In life, it can be very irritating. So you eventually go, I don't even want to deal with it. I'll just take care of everything. And that's a very dangerous and slippery slope to get into in a relationship. So one thing that I really like about Donovan is that I always know where I stand with him. He's very clear with me. He's very open with me. He's very straightforward with me. And I, you know, they're saying don't confuse honesty with being straightforward, blah, blah, blah. Well, he doesn't know how to be any other way. Any other way is just wasting his time and it's dancing around people's feelings and it's not asserting who he is. And that's one thing I really, really appreciate. If there's a problem, he tells me right away.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, coming from a relationship where if there was a problem, you found out about it like 2 years later when you're in a drunk fight or something, you know, right. Like what, you've been carrying that around for how long? Like, come on. So it's helped me. It kind of reinforced a lot of the personality traits that I already had, but helped me learn how to tamp down a lot of the bad habits that I had picked up out of, I guess, I want to say necessity, but if I had done things different, I might not say necessity. I might say choice.
So. Sure. I think what a lot of men have to realize when dealing with women in a relationship is that if your woman does or says something that you don't like or that you disagree with, you absolutely positively have to address it right then and there. No matter what environment you're in, I don't care if you're in front of her family, I don't care if you're on a plane, I don't care if you're in public. And this isn't to say be an asshole and berate and yell at your woman in public. Right. But if you're in a public place and your woman does or says something that does not sit well with you, you know, you look her in the eye and be like, hey, knock it off. If she does or says something that really needs to be addressed and maybe there needs to be a conversation, I'm not the type to wait until later on the night. Okay, well, I've let some time to go by and blah, 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 blah. Now, a lot of men,
I can't even imagine you saying that.
No way. Now, a lot of men might use the crutch of time as an excuse not to address things because addressing things right there up front and straightforward in real time as soon as it happens, it's not an easy thing for most men to do. Most men are not used to operating that way.
Why aren't they?
Well, because they're afraid. And the reason men are afraid is because they and Kevin Samuels, the late great Kevin Samuels, God rest his soul, most men are dealing in fear, scarcity, and lack. And one thing that I've always preached to men and women is that the more honest a man is, the more options he has. The more honest a man is to his woman, the more he cares about her. Mm-hmm. You only lie to your woman because you don't really care about her. Now, there are some things that you should not disclose to your woman and vice versa, because some things are just better left unsaid. But when it comes to the dynamics of a relationship, you have to put it out there. This doesn't mean that you don't take stock in what your surroundings are. You don't want to get into a shouting match. You don't want to reprimand somebody when the time isn't right, but you must reprimand her right then and there. Do it on the low, do it on the sly, let her know, hey, we're going to talk about what just happened as soon as we leave this place. But what men will do is they will use the crutch of time to as a mask to mask their fear. So they'll say something like, well, Donovan, shouldn't if something pisses you off, shouldn't you let some time go by to allow yourself to cool off and think more rationally? The answer is hell no. You have to let your woman know exactly what's going on when it's on your mind. And the fact that you are angry will let her know, okay, this is really serious. Because the more time goes by, the less angry, the less something bothers you, which is good retrospectively. But that should be after the problem is addressed. Then maybe you go back and revisit things and say, hey, look, check this out. When I said X, Y, and Z, I also meant A, B, and C, and we can add and subtract from that. But a lot of men like to say, well, I'd like to let cooler heads prevail. Well, when in actuality, they never really plan on confronting their woman right then and there at the time in the first place. So they'll use that as sort of a cloak to their fear. And again, it's not easy to confront your woman at that very time, but trust and believe it has to be done, because the best women can only Women can only be at their best when they know where they stand at all times. This is why Devin is so good at anticipating my needs, because number one, she knows me. And number two, I always let her know where she stands. And I don't always do it in an asshole kind of way. I am sort of a, you know, I'm very, what's that?
Not always.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not a complete ass.
Tact. I think that's important.
Yes, I do use tact, but I mean, you know, I'm a hot-blooded individual. Sometimes I can yell and throw things and may or may not have broken furniture. But the point is that Devin knows what's going on. If there's never a time where I'm walking around the house or I'm giving you the silent treatment and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you never have asked me, Donovan, what's wrong? How many times have you asked me that? None. Because if something is amiss, I will let her know. Now, sometimes if she's feeling some type of way, I'll be like, all right, we'll check this out. Listen, man, if you're feeling some type of way, depending on what the situation is, sometimes I just don't want to deal with it. I'm like, yo, whatever your problem is, you better fix it. Right. And if it really continues to be a problem, that's when I'll pull up the great chair. Okay, Dev, you obviously are feeling some type of way. Let's hash this out. One thing that I wish I could probably do more is I wish I could probably be a little less abrasive, but by the same token, sometimes being abrasive is what you need to get the point across. This doesn't mean be an asshole. Still use tact, but you have to use your masculine forcefulness to really let your woman know, A, this is not okay. Yeah. And there will be, listen, for every sequence, there is a consequence. Whether that consequence is good or bad is completely up to the woman. And of course, up to you to react in the right way.
It's really amazing to think that a lot of the behaviors that I grew up and treated as normal, for example, giving male colleagues a hug. Imagine me doing that now.
Oh, no.
You know, but there were things that I thought, you know, all these things at work, you have to like go to these team building things and you need to be a part of this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like really like society has been teaching us to value all of these relationships that don't really matter and not to consider the feelings and how you affect the people closest to you.
You
should rather just accept whatever you do is okay.
You know, it's interesting. So you've been in corporate America for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe you agree or disagree with this, but a lot of affairs start in the workplace. And the way the workplace, well, I don't know, it's kind of changed now because of COVID, more people are working remotely. But up until recently, and probably even now, it's almost as though the workplace is set up to foster an environment that is conducive to infidelity. You're going to team building activities. You're going to lunch with coworkers. You're in rooms alone with your coworkers.
With alcohol.
Yeah. Like, what do you think is going to happen? You go to enough team building activities with alcohol, eventually something is going to happen. So I made it clear to Dev. I said, look, I don't give a shit. If there's team building activities, if you decide to go, you just need to understand that our relationship is going to come to an end because I don't play that.
No, I used to bring him with me, which was.
Oh yeah, that was fun. That was always a lot of fun, yeah, especially the go karts.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. Oh yeah, the golfing was cool. Yeah, but yeah, our relationship I think is better now that you've stopped working.
Yeah. Well, working for corporate America.
Yeah, working for corporate America.
I work. A lot more now than I did before.
Yeah, she works a lot more now than she did then. But, you know, I mean, I would like to think that she's a little bit more fulfilled. Yeah. But there are so many landmines in the workplace that most people are not even aware of. And this is why guys are blindsided by their wives or girlfriends' infidelity. How did I not see it coming? How could this happen? Really? You want to pull up the company messages and see what they've been messaging back and forth that doesn't have to do with work on a regular basis? That's where these things really come into play. So you're right, Tallulah. It is very, very difficult for a relationship like ours to work. But the two main reasons why it works now is because number one, I'm me. And number two, she's out of the workplace because there are so many landmines in the workplace. And now Dev is not subjected to that stuff anymore.
Yeah, they want you to feel like your workplace is your home. And these people that you work with are
more
your family.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
You spend just as much time here, if not more, than you were spending at home with your family and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, well, that's backwards, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you basically get I wouldn't say punished because it's not literal, but it's more like ostracized for coming in on time and leaving on time.
Yep. That's right. So, yeah. You used to tell me all the time that, hey, let's go to lunch.
5:30 and it's like,
yeah, man.
Why is she always running out the door?
Yeah. Like, right. Right.
I got stuff to do. But yeah, like, yeah, all the lunches and stuff like that, you know, I would just eat at my desk and work, you know, it's what I'm there for.
Were indirectly punished for because you were left out a lot of the off campus.
Even like here, we're taking a picture for this. And like, I'm not here to take pictures. Like I'm just here to do marketing. So,
And you weren't trying to be an asshole. No, it's just that it's
on your Facebook page. I'm not even on Facebook. Jesus, man.
I'm telling you, man, I think the workplace that's a breeding ground for infidelity, man. Just the closeness and the camaraderie and all this other kind of stuff. And then when people travel together, it's just like, ay, ay, ay. This is why I do not commit to women who travel for work.
Yeah. And you say camaraderie, but really it's all like seems very, very fake, doesn't it? Because you're put in this group of people and, you know, being told slogans like, oh, you're here more than you're with your family. And people just think that's normal. That's not especially for a female. That's not normal for us to be doing.
It's not normal for females to have meals by themselves with men other than their significant others. That's not normal. It's not normal for a woman to be in a man's office and nobody else is there. That's not normal. It's not normal for women to be messaging their coworkers, winky faces and heart faces. That's not normal. It's normalized in America. It's almost like America and the workplace is
normal. That's the weird. It's
the wackiest thing. But we've been at this. It's been like this for so long that anytime somebody suggests, anytime I say, and I'll be, dude, I've done Fresh and Fit After Hours, I think 7 or 8 times. And every time I mention stuff like, well, I don't commit to women who go to bars or clubs. Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. That's insecurity, blah, 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 blah. No. It's not insecurity. That's just me marking my territory and not allowing my woman to put herself in positions that put our relationship at risk. Now, I can't control what Devin does. She's a grown-ass woman. She can do whatever it is she wants to do. However, she understands that for every action, there is a reaction. The reaction that comes is completely up to her. If she wants to go to the bar or the club, if she wants to travel for work, if she wants to do girls' nights out, she can do all of those things. Right. But she will not be in a committed relationship with me if she engages in those activities.
And it's a lifestyle choice.
That's it.
If I decided, you know, that I wanted to smoke weed all day and never work out, then this wouldn't work. We all make choices in life. It's up to us to put value on those choices and decide what is worth what to us. The leadership that Donovan provides and the fact that I can trust him, that I can rely on him, I don't have to question him. And, you know, and that's still a hard thing to unlearn because, you know, even I don't even know, I can't speak for all women, but, you know, we're constantly seeing men demeaned on TV commercials.
Oh my God, yeah.
And in media, and it's like, hey, it's no wonder the common, you know, rhetoric now is you don't need a man. Who needs a man?
Right.
I'm doing it all on my own. Now these women are like having babies from God knows what. You know, it's all very confusing right now. This is a very strange time where everyone wants the opportunity, but none of the accountability.
There you go.
That goes with it.
That what you just said earlier is 100% right. This is, unfortunately, now our relationship is now a lifestyle. It's almost an alternative lifestyle because most women, and they don't know that this is the way they think, but most women want to be in relationships, obviously, But women want to engage in activities that put their relationship at risk without any of the risk of losing that relationship.
Right.
This is why females go to lunch with their coworkers. This is why they're friends with people on Facebook. This is why they have Instagram, all this other kind of stuff. They want, now, again, women don't want men to control them. They want men who are in control. I am in control of my environment. But what women expect of men is they expect to be able to put the for sale sign in the yard when the house has already been sold. And it's almost like women feel that it is their birthright.
Oh my God, I'm not property.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's almost that women act as though it is their birthright to keep their options open at all times. Now, that is their birthright. But if you're going to keep your options open, do it while you're single. If you're not happy with your boyfriend, break up with your boyfriend, divorce your husband, and then go find somebody else. But women don't want to do that. The world tells women, hey, stay in that relationship. And then when you find somebody else, then you can branch swing. Everything about our society, all of it, the workplace, social media, commuting, just daily interactions, all of these things encourage women to pursue other relationships while they're in relationships. There's nothing wrong with a woman pursuing relationships, but the reason why there's such a roadblock between men and women is because women want to reserve the right to pursue relationships while they're still in relationships, and some just flat out cheat. Mm-hmm. As men, you have to be able, and again, this comes from abundance. You have to be able to be honest with your woman. You have to understand that you can replace your woman. So when you say, hey, look, before we get committed, just understand, I don't commit to women who go out at night. I don't commit to women who go to bars. I don't commit to women who go to clubs. I don't commit to women on social media. That's a big one. I don't commit to women who travel for work. I don't commit to women who hang out with their male friends. I just don't do that. She can do those things, but she's just not going to do it with me. Too many men allow their women to have it both ways.
Tallulah, do you want to hear how ass backwards I had it when I was young?
Yes.
When I got married, I had a man of honor, not a maid of honor. My best friend was a guy.
What? You've never told me that.
Yep.
I thought you would have said something by now. Whoa. Who was it?
Just a good friend of mine from high school. It wasn't like that. But our parents are really good friends,
here
too.
Here we go.
But okay.
He's like a brother.
Stop the cap.
No, not like that. But the fact that my husband at the time was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, didn't click. Like, oh wait, maybe this is disrespectful.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my goodness.
And that's, I'm pretty ashamed to admit that, but that's honestly, like, that was normal. Nobody said anything. Nobody questioned it.
Yeah, so I mean, in the world that we're in, why would you question it at that time, right?
Well,
different. She didn't know any different.
Well, not only that, why wouldn't you question it at the time? It's because when you do question this kind of thing, you're painted as insecure, you're a misogynist, you're controlling, you're possessive, you're toxic, et cetera, et cetera. This is something I've said for years. Today's women, modern women, describe a relationship where it is easy to cheat as healthy. Right. If her boyfriend or husband allows her to go to the bar, if her boyfriend or husband allows her to go to concerts, if her boyfriend or husband allows her to travel alone, if her boyfriend or husband allows her to go to spring break destinations, then that is a very healthy relationship. However, when it's difficult to cheat, that's when it's toxic and possessive and controlling. If he feels some type of way about you going off with your girls for girls' nights out, if he tells you he doesn't want you going to the club, if he tells you he doesn't commit to women who travel by themselves, if he tells you he doesn't commit to women who are on social media, all of a sudden now that's toxic. Well, what's the common denominator in both the toxic and the healthy relationship? The healthy relationship is a relationship where it's easy for the woman to cheat. The toxic relationship is where it's difficult to cheat. They use this shaming language to try to shame men out of tamping down our natural instincts to protect what we believe is ours, which is the relationship.
Right. And so women will be like, okay, oh, you want me to put like a Life 360 or basically a family location app. Like it just tracks everybody's location. Mm-hmm. Well, will you put this on your phone? No, that's controlling. You're going to know where I am at all times. Well, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, right. And if you have nothing to hide, then you wouldn't have a problem with it. But then the rebuttal is, well, he should just trust me.
Right.
Wrong answer. What women need to understand, and I'll let you continue after this, but this needs to be said. What today's women are grossly unaware of is that trust from a man of value must be earned.
Right.
When when I meet a woman, I automatically don't trust. I don't trust. No, most people don't trust strangers, right? Like, you wouldn't walk up to a stranger and give him your...
Yeah, hold my baby.
Yeah, right, exactly. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because you don't know them. You don't trust people you don't know. Yet, women expect men to trust someone who could completely turn their life upside down for whatever reason or no reason at all. Automatically, I'm going to trust you. And then men perpetuate this. They say things like, well, I'll trust anyone until they give me reason not to. Then you're a fucking idiot. Women have to proactively build a man's trust. You should not have to wait for your man to tell you, hey, turn your locations on. You should not have to wait for your man to tell you, hey, where are you and what are you doing? No, you need to be checking and reporting. And again, you don't just do this for any man. You only do it for the man you feel that is worth it. But women need to understand that trust is a luxury. That's a privilege. That's not a right. I don't have to trust you if you haven't given me a reason to trust you. So I am distrustful of anyone until they give me reason to trust them. And guess what? When the clock strikes 12, that trust meter goes all the way back. Because, dude, you can show trustworthy behavior for 6 months. All it takes on that 181st day, something just like that. Yeah. So what women need to understand, and I'll say this again, you need to proactively build trust. What proactively means you act first. Don't wait for your boyfriend to tell you, to give you instructions on how to gain his trust. You need to beat him to the punch. That makes an impression.
And I think it's really important as well that I watch not only about trust, you know, Devon, I know, you know, just clarifying back on what you were saying is, you know, how much you trusted Donovan because he's actually upfront to you. He's not passive aggressive with things. He doesn't let it sit there, and it's more of a healthy thing. But guess what? I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Yay.
It happens.
Go back to what you were just saying, Donovan.
About proactively building trust.
You have to understand that, like, you, if you're just like not seriously dating someone, there's no need to share your location every time you go somewhere. But what I'm saying is, if you really like a guy and you want to keep his attention and you want to let him know that you are pursuing him, okay, then go ahead, send him a picture when you get somewhere. Say, hey, I just got here. How are you? You know, like, let him know where you are, what you're up to, what your schedule is, what your routine is. And so start giving him things that he can rely on and say, okay, wow, I didn't have to think about her today. Like, what was she doing?
Oh, my God.
So some of the things that I did to help gain his trust were things like, you know, what I put keyloggers on all my devices that he can access.
Give me access to your security system.
I don't have a lock screen on my phone. Why? I never leave the house, really. Like, you know, but
there's no password on your phone or anything.
None of my stuff. Mm-mm. And I think, like, before we lived together, I put like the little security system where you open the door and it lets you know. And like
the door alerts
camera.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I was like, here's access to my home security system. If you ever want to see what I'm up to, you can just log in and look. Or if you see when my door opens, if my door opens at 2 a.m, something probably ain't good going on. You know what I mean? So in a way, it was also there to help keep myself in check and to, like, make myself accountable for every decision that I made. And that was really important for me, I think, just as much as it was for him.
I totally agree. And here's the thing. There's so many girls who are involved with guys that they really, really want to be with. And they always question themselves, why won't John commit? Why hasn't he proposed? Why aren't we in a committed relationship? It's because John knows and understands that and it's subconscious to Lula. It's not that John is saying, well, you know what? Stacy doesn't check in. She hasn't given me a key logger. She hasn't done this. She hasn't done that. All John knows is that he doesn't trust you. He doesn't know why he doesn't trust you, but he knows he doesn't trust you. Now, on the woman, on Stacy's side, she doesn't realize that John doesn't trust him, and she has no idea why he doesn't trust her. All she knows is that John will not give her the commitment. Here's the reason. Because you do not proactively build trust. There are so many girls who assume that they have the trust of the guy that they're seeing, and they don't. And they always want, every girl has been in this situation, Tallulah. I dated this guy, dated that guy, high value guy here and high value guy there, but he never really took me seriously. The reason he didn't take you seriously is because you did not proactively build trust. And we as men, we are biologically hardwired to avoid commitment from women we inherently distrust. And it's the cool thing is that it's instinctual. It's not something we have to think about. It's just something that just happens just like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that we also just talk about, you know, flinging off of that is representing that Devon is representing Donovan. And we have a lot of female people listening in at the moment. And Devon, perhaps you could just say, and Donovan as well, how important it is with Donovan's position of what he does for a living and the people that you're around and just in life in general as well, that how you are presenting yourself is representing him and the importance of that.
You know, it seemed like it would be really difficult, but it isn't, because all I do is I focus on Donovan. Does he need anything? Is he happy? Is he happy with the way I look when we leave? Yes. You know, like, okay, good. I don't need approval from anyone else. I don't need validation from anyone else. What other people think of me, I don't really care. At the end of the day, their thoughts, their head, whatever. It doesn't really, what affects me is Donovan. So if something gets to the point where he's like, oh no, we need to address this, then it's going to start to stress me out. But otherwise I've learned to just tune it out, you know? Like for example, like I really don't come on lives except for yours, but I don't really come on live without him. And the reason for that is like, hold on, our dog is barking. I'm sorry. But the reason for that is I'm not a YouTuber. Like, I don't like to be, and I like to be behind the scenes, like making stuff happen rather than like up in the front. So, you know, while he's a very good front person, he's very exuberant. He's, you know, a very dominant personality. Like, he's like a leader of men when it kind of group of men. So there's no need for me to be any of that. So in a way it's relaxing. I can just sit back and follow his lead and not have to worry about, you know, what other people think of me. As long as he's happy with me, then I'm happy. I don't care what other people think. And I think that comes with age.
How Devon like represents you and your brand, everything that you do. Mm-hmm. You know, she has such like grace and dignity when she's talking about you or your business and everything that she's doing in the background. You know, and this is just what I noticed with, you know, she never embarrasses you. She doesn't want to embarrass you. And like she said, all she cares about is that you're happy in it. And when you're happy, the representation just speaks for itself, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if he didn't trust me to represent him well, there's no way that I would be with him in a public setting like the CME in front of all of his, you know, colleagues and people he does business with, and, you know, all of the relationships that are very, very important to him and his livelihood.
Yes.
I mean, if there was anything, the only thing that like I try to fake is being more social than I actually am, because I'd honestly rather be like watching like crime shows in the hotel room or something, you know. So in that way that we're good. Like he's very extroverted, I'm very introverted.
Yeah, it works well.
Just like with the CME, like on the back end for this conference, I'm managing all of it. Created the app for the event portal. I'm doing all of running all the back end on the virtual stuff. What I created the websites, created, you know, the e-commerce solutions, got all of that in place. We got our own merchant accounts. We've really come a long way over the past few years from relying on third parties that turn you off.
That's right.
Blink of an eye.
That's right.
To becoming 100% independent. Our SharpStream app is a membership, like a Netflix, a video on demand, so that we can never be deplatformed. Like, there's a lot of things, and I'm lucky to have the skill set, and all I've ever done in my life is search engine optimization and internet marketing, and basically systems integration on the back end, making sure that when someone signs up here, they end up on, you know, this list or get this email sequence, or, you know, there's a lot of automation that goes into marketing, a lot of segmenting and things. So I feel lucky that I know how to run a Google ad campaign. I know how to run Facebook ads. I know how to, like, you know, a target certain people in certain places. Like right now we are running an ad campaign that's retargeting people who have retargeting people that whoever's been to your YouTube channel or any of our websites.
Yep.
We'll see ads across the internet for the CME.
There you go.
So, you know, like he said, I'm very budget minded. Like I like to save a buck, and I like to optimize campaign spending and things like that. So like my first priority when it comes to our business stuff is, you know, a return on investment when it comes to the numbers.
Yes.
What people think about me or talking about me on the internet, like, I don't care. Like, that doesn't pay my bills.
And I'll tell you this, representing me well in public, this actually became a necessity, because as a man advising other men on relationships with women, people need to see proof of concept. People need to see receipts. They need to see that you know what you're talking about. There are a lot of content creators, male and female, who talk about things that they don't really know too much about. For whatever reason, maybe they stumbled onto a YouTube video, or maybe they're just very good at regurgitating things, a term that we like to call parroting. Whatever the case may be, they're speaking about things with authority on things they have no authority on. So as a man who is advising men on relationships with women, it is very important for them to see, okay, this is the physical manifestation of what I'm teaching you guys. If you want a woman to act like and look like this, then this is what you need to do. It's very easy for someone to say, well, I do this and I do that. There's a content creator who I am no longer friends with who is a complete sham. It was a complete fraud. I mean, he would say things like, I haven't been in an argument with my woman in 20 years and stand on my name and this and that and the third. Come to find out, is his wife runs the relationship. That's why we never saw her. And that's why he keeps regurgitating the same things over and over again. There are a lot of frauds on the internet. There are a lot of scam artists. There are a lot of guys out here and women who are trying to tell you, trying to sell you on the fact that they're an authority on something with absolutely no proof whatsoever, especially in this space. Anybody can say anything. Just like a girl can say, I've only slept with 5 guys. We got guys out here talking about they've slept with 1,400 women and that they've had they've got a rotation of 10 girls. Mm. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So for someone as upfront and brash and as hot-headed as me, and to speak with the conviction that I speak with, people, as far as I was concerned, I was like, okay, people are going to start to say at some point, hey, show me the baby. You have all these concepts and they work in theory, but do they really work in a real world relationship? This is when I decided to introduce Devin to the world, just letting these guys know, hey, the things that I have written about, the things I've discussed, the things I've done videos about for the last now 8+ years, they actually work, and I am actually doing them. I'm not telling you to do one thing and then me doing another. And going back to the whole trust thing, what Devin said was 100% spot on when she says giving me access to her phone and key loggers and cameras and all this other kind of stuff. Not only does that force her to be accountable to herself, this forces her to be honest with herself. If there ever comes a time where she decided she did not want to be with me anymore, everything that she put in place forces her to be honest with herself and then honest with me. Because just the example that she gave, if I get a notification the next morning that her door was open at 2 o'clock in the morning and then closed again at 4 o'clock in the morning, then something is a problem. So before she allows herself to get put in that position, at some point she's got to say, okay, Yeah, listen, I'm just not into Donovan anymore. So at some point, she's going to say, hey, look, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. Now the keylogger and all that stuff now goes out the door because I'm no longer invested in her. She's no longer invested in me. But being able to get away with that, that's what causes the problems. So it's almost like she protected herself from herself. If she is going to get up to all sorts of nefarious activities, she knows I'm going to know about it. So if that's what she really wants to do, then guess what? She can still do them. But at that point, now she can cut me loose. Be like, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And now I don't have to worry about catching her and the heartbreak and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been so great to hear you guys today. Thank you so much. It's
absolutely
been an absolute pleasure. I've been waiting to do this for a while. I really appreciate it. Just to round it off, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but if you two were to give advice on how you have such a solid, loving relation and successful relationship like yours, what would it be? Just a quick sum up. We've pretty much gone over everything, but just a very quick sum up.
As far as I'm concerned, I'll let Dev go after this. It's acceptance. We live in a different time, and what men are going to have to understand is that, and listen, I'm human. Even I struggle with this. Men, a lot of men like to use the excuse of, well, I'm only going to date a virgin, or I'm going to go over it. Listen, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I deal, just like Myron says, men, we deal in probabilities, not possibilities. Is it possible to find a virgin? Absolutely. Is it probable? No. What men need to understand in this day and age, you have to accept things. You have to accept you're not your woman's biggest, her first, her best, or her only. You're going to have to understand that, yes, your woman likes to please you and she likes having sex with you. She's probably not going to pair bond with you. Why? Because she has slept with men other than you. We're not going back to the 1820s, man. We are in the 2020s. If you want to be able to have at least a chance at a solid relationship of consequence, you need to let go of the perfect scenario. Not everything is perfect. You're not going to find a 20-year-old virgin who's never seen a dick in her life or who never had desires or never did. No, those days are over. What you have to understand is this is what we have. That's the first thing. You have to accept that you're never going to be your woman's biggest, her best, her first, or her only. What you're also going to have to accept is that women are no longer coming ready-made for relationships, Devin included. That doesn't mean she's a bad person. It's just that the day and time that we are raised in, it's not conducive to building women into the women that they should be for good relationships with men. No one taught Devin how to be submissive. No one taught Devin all these things. I had to. So my message to men is that, look, it's not going to be perfect. It is going to take work, and it's going to be up to you to train and coach your woman to be the kind of woman that you want and need. It's going to be a learning curve. She's going to make mistakes, but it's on you. It is on you to train and coach your woman. If you're not up to it, no problem. But by the same token, don't complain about the fact that you're not in a relationship or bitches ain't shit because you're unwilling to do the work that is clearly required today.
Okay.
I want people to understand that we didn't enter into this relationship going, well, let's teach people how to be submissive in a relationship and let's teach people what a real relationship
right,
is like.
Right.
And, you know,
right,
all
right.
This stuff. Like, you know, this is, you know, he's a different kind of dude, you know, and he's, I don't want to say I maybe overcorrected a little bit, but it's definitely the opposite direction that I had been going in.
Yeah, way the opposite, yeah.
And for that, I'm grateful. So I guess my advice for younger people looking to get into relationships, especially young ladies, is accountability. And yes, that was one of the biggest lessons I had to learn. If all of your exes are bad, if your parents didn't do shit, if whatever your situation, it doesn't even matter. Whatever your excuses are, throw them away. They're not doing you any favors. Nope. Own your stuff. Understand that no matter what you think is at fault, you're responsible for your half of it. And the sooner you admit to what those issues are, then the sooner you can address them and not repeat them. If you're dating guys saying, oh, well, my ex was abusive and he was an alcoholic and he
blah, blah,
gambled
blah
away all our savings.
Yeah, and then he beat me up.
But
and all
we
this
were together for 15 years. You know,
make sense.
And honestly, like when I look back and I was very, like, one of the biggest things that Donovan said to me was, like, if I said anything about my ex-husband, he would be like, I wasn't there. I don't want to hear it. Mm-mm. I don't have his side of the story. You have to tell me what you are accountable
for. That's right.
What is your responsibility in this demise? Because that's the only way, you know, you're never going to learn from something if you don't feel it was your fault. Then you got the victim mindset, the victim mentality, and that's only going to set you back. It's not going to help you going forward. Bad things do happen all the time. Traumas happen, horrible things happen. But we look at the people who have been through these awful things in life and then still rise above, like look at Magic Johnson. If he was going to turn his cards in, he should have. He just got married, HIV, like,
yeah, wow, yeah,
you know, like, there's all kinds of stuff that we admire the people who rise above,
right,
and say, okay, here's something bad that happened, but we're going to keep pushing forward because there's more good to do in this world. And that kind of energy, like you say, forward moving energy, is just as important coming from women as it is from men. So yep. If anything, my advice is accountability. Learn from your mistakes. If you don't want to repeat them again, don't have the same approach. Try, you know, actually listening and respecting to men, especially ones that are worth a damn. And just try it out, see how it goes. If he lets you down, yeah, then you pick the wrong
one. You picked the wrong one. Real quick, I would also advise, especially younger women, actually women of all ages. Women of all ages know a man of value when they see one. Okay, you can't, and everybody gauges value differently, but women know a man in demand when they see one. Let me let you in on a little secret, ladies. Men in demand, men who have experience with women, we know what you guys get up to when you're not in relationships. Does it mean that you're a bad person? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know this. If you're dating a guy you really like, tell him you like him, okay? If you're thinking, oh, my God, well, I don't want to tell him that because it'll make me look weak and vulnerable, sweetheart, that makes you a woman.
Right.
And vulnerability is attractive to men. It's not attractive to women. That's the first thing. The second thing, just like Devin said, own your shit. If now men in demand, we know what y'all get up to. We're not going to ask you how many guys you've slept with. And if we do, we're not a man in demand, because at that point we're operating from a scarcity mindset. But if something ever comes up indirectly, If a guy you're interested in, sometimes he's going to ask you, hey, what happened in your last relationship? Have you ever XYZ? Just tell him, look, man, hey, look, you know what girls get up to. You're obviously a guy who's been with a lot of girls. You don't have to be specific. Be like, look, I've made those same mistakes, but I really, really like you, and I'd really like to make this work. And so to me, you're worth not making those same mistakes. You're worth not making those same mistakes. And I would really, really like it if you would give me an opportunity to show you that I can be different for you. That would make such an impression, because not only have you admitted that you used to get up to things that are not conducive for a long-term relationship, you showed them that you're accountable. So many women try to hide, they try to hide these obvious lies covered in tattoos and all these piercings. Yeah, I've only slept with three guys. Nobody buys that. Just own your shit. Hey, you know what? I had a hoe phase. I know it was wrong. The reason why me and my boyfriend broke up is because he didn't trust me going to the club, and he had good reason why. But I like you a lot more than I like him, and I'm willing to do things for you that I was unwilling to do for them, if you'll have me. Just be honest, be accountable, and men will respect that. Because if you try to hide it, a man's going to be like, okay, well, she's just another liar trying to cover up her slutty tracks, just like the last 17 girls I've dated. But if you're the one who says, you know what? I own my shit. I had a hoe phase. I wish it didn't happen, but it's happened, and I want to move forward.
Mm-hmm. I got to call you out on something that you kept on.
Who, me?
Yeah, when we first met, what attracted you to me wasn't my wonderful sense of humor that you put so much emphasis on.
No.
It was my cooking skills, babe.
Oh, you're stupid.
I'm sending pictures of food, man. You really want
to? Well, I had to make sure that you were bangable first.
You really like a guy, send him pictures of food.
Send him pictures of food, yeah. Just show him that you like him. It does not, to a man in demand, if you show a guy, if you're the first to tell, because ladies, I'm here to tell you, men in demand, we don't have to make the first move as far as a relate. We got to make the first move as far as the first interaction is concerned, is because that's the dance. But when it comes to commitment, what you ladies have to understand, and y'all aren't going to like this, and I don't give a shit, there are a lot more of you guys than there are guys like me. And so it is incumbent upon you to qualify to guys like me. You have to understand where you are on the sexual market totem pole. The more there are of you, the less valuable you are. The less there are of you, the more valuable you are. Beauty is common, okay? Even though most women aren't traditionally beautiful, there are a lot less high-value men than there are beautiful women. And I'm not trying to tell you guys, oh, you guys are a dime a dozen, but I'll tell you what, if you have those same kind of habits, you are going to be a dime a dozen. Get out of your heads. Get out of your ego. Stop talking. Well, he needs to make the first move if he wants a relationship. He doesn't have to do anything. He's got a dozen of you lined up wanting the same thing as you do. So it's incumbent upon you to make that move. Hey, I want to be in a relationship with you. What's it going to take? Ladies, get over your ego, man. Get over your ego. Get over all that. Don't worry about him looking weak, because I've never met a guy who said, you know what? Sarah told me she really liked me and that she wants to be with me. I don't think I respect her. I don't think I quite like her as much. No, you freaking idiot. It's attractive. It is attractive when attractive women say that they want to be with you. That's just all there is to it. Pretending to play cool and playing hard to get, that's been bastardized. It's overrated. Not saying to throw yourself at the guy and just to act like a hoe, but you need to let him know if you really want to be in a relationship with him, hey, I like you and I want to be in a relationship with you, because I can promise you, if he has any value, if he's even worth half of his salt, he is not going to pursue a relationship with you unless he knows you want one. And the only way he's going to know that you want one is if you tell him, because sleeping with him is not going to do that, because he's doing that with 10 other girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important for girls to, you know, you have to try and stand out from the crowd. And that does not mean just going and, you know, a guy clicks his fingers and you just go to his house and sleep with the guy.
Yep, that's right.
You know, I always encourage like women to, you know, make him some food, leave it on the doorstep, do whatever you've got to do. If he's not well, make him a little basket up, do something like that. And I think, unfortunately, here in the UK anyway, is that women are like pushback on that. Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm too vulnerable. You know, he won't like me. And da, da, da. And it's like, lies. Okay, if you do that and he doesn't reciprocate that and he doesn't like that, then you stand back. You have a boundary at that point. That's when you leave it alone. You did what you wanted to do. And if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. But if he wants it, that is your way of showing, I am different to other girls. I'm not sitting here spending my evenings posting up photos on Instagram.
Right.
I'm spending my evenings cooking a nice meal and making you up a batch and keeping you happy.
If a guy, any given woman is dating, if he punishes traditional behavior. So, for example, if you cook him a meal and then he doesn't talk to you for 24 hours, guess what? Not the guy for you, okay? Yeah, exactly. He's not the guy for you. And a lot of women they're afraid to do these things. Well, what if he doesn't want to be in a relationship? Or if he doesn't want to be in a relationship, then you move on to the next guy, because a relationship is the end goal, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Now, listen, if you're just looking to be a hoe, then just come out and say that. But what women are going to have to understand is traditionally feminine behavior is always attractive to attractive men who are looking for relationships. Again, if you cook him a meal, or if you send him a basket, or if you take care of him and nurse him back to health, if his behavior towards you turns negative, then guess what? That's not the relationship for you. Good men, high value men, reward proactive, traditional feminine behavior. If you run up on a guy who actually punishes that behavior, not the guy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We could definitely go like deeper onto those subjects. Maybe one day we will. But it's been really, really great to have you. It's such a pleasure. And, you know, as always, Donovan and Devin, you have done so much to, you know, launch my channel, grow me as a person in this channel. I'm still so nervous. Obviously, everyone can tell.
Yeah, you did fine. You did fine.
But, you know, I'm like Devin, you know, going from like the backs of things to the front is really, really scary. But
it is.
It's great to have you guys on, and you've given so much value today to everyone that's listening. I'm sure people will take it away and use it, guys. It's what you need to do is use it. So until next time, we will see you soon. In the meantime, everyone go and check out what Donovan is doing at his channel. That's Donovan Sharp, and check out the CME. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.